Lord, thank you for that wonderful name. All power given in that name. Oh, thank you, Lord. The attention of all the heaven, God, is upon us. Lord, your favor. Lord, the one divine, hallelujah. His intent of his heart, God. Lord, to come in, Lord, and only as you can do, to be led into all the fullness of God. Lord, let us enter in more today. It's your desire. God, let us enter into that rest of God that you've given to your people. Lord, through your grace, through your mercy, Lord, and that faith comes one way, comes by hearing you and hearing by the word of God. We thank you that your sheep know your voice. Thank you for the perfect love wherewith we are loved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You open your Bibles today. We'll begin here in Isaiah chapter 61. Oh, how thankful. And we haven't even just begun. But in Isaiah 61 verse 1 it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Oh, yes. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Amazing what the grace of God does. Amen. That's the only freedom you'll ever understand, is the liberty in Christ, a.k.a. the grace of God. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them, here we go, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Oh, hallelujah. I think, how sweet to hear this over the years. Payday someday. And praise be to God. By grace, I'm even living it today. Why not? Amen? Oh, yes. When you know that his promises are yea and amen, how could we not live it today? Praise the Lord. I believe God has encouraged us. That bride for him, she abides as a readied wife. She's not doubting. She's not wondering. She is not trying to think about, well, does he really love me like that? Let me tell you something. His love has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That wonderful promise, praise God, that he's given. All you have to do is just receive it. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Isn't that so beautiful about the word of God? And it never changes with anything with the word of God. It's all by grace. It's all through faith. It's all simply, as I love Brother Herbie saying, you mean that's mine? You mean God says I should have that? He says, well, I'll take that, and I'll take that. Never saw anybody, as they testify him, never saw anybody saved so fast. Never saw anybody filled so fast. And praise be to God, just going on, hallelujah, increasing at an increasing rate. Let me tell you something, that's fast. But that's what God does in Paul's gospel. But I'll tell you what I've been thinking about is these blessings. And I'm talking about the blessings so divine of the revelation and the anointing personally upon my life. The high calling of God. That vocation to win Christ. But specifically, brothers and sisters, the blessings in my life. The blessings, if you will, even before my life. That brought my life to Paul's gospel. Oh, yes. The blessing how the Lord drew specifically each and every one of us out and brought us to embrace the glory of his grace. Let me tell you something. These vessels of mercy out here, they were afore prepared unto glory. Do you get that? The word of God says his vessels of mercy and those riches of glory that he's bestowed on them, you all were prepared afore unto glory. He saw you in ages past in Christ, in his Son. And he saw that perfection for each one of us. Now, brothers and sisters, these are blessings that most don't understand. Matter of fact, these are blessings that even most Christians will never understand, because what they call them are tragedies or disasters. But you know the tragedies and disasters of any life that has gone on with the Lord? I've found that those all are the before ordained good works that we should walk therein. I found that before he ever drew a star in heaven, his divine purpose in Christ was for each of us to be his own. I love that. Now, what are we speaking about here today? We're speaking about blessings like that of Ruth. She had a divine path. You know how divine her path was? Her path was so divine, her husband would die. Her path was so divine, her father-in-law would die. Her path was so divine that all she would be left with was a bitter mother-in-law. Now, right there, I'm just going to tell you, most people just shaking their head and saying, oh my, why don't you just end it right there, honey? If it gets any lower than that, you know, let's just get it over with. But I'll tell you what, that was a perfect path. That was a perfect path. It was the only path. It was a perfect path that would lead her to the hand and marry the Redeemer. If you know that story of Boaz, it was the perfect path that brought her from a place that was so far away, brought her divinely right into the field of the Redeemer, brought her amongst all those other maidens that were in that field of the Redeemer. But it was that grace and mercy that divinely took her life and put her in that field and in the eyes of the Redeemer, that he said, oh, I'll tell you what, I've redeemed it all. But moreover, it was all done because of her. Now, once again, without all of those events in her life, she never would have had that appointment. Amen? We could go on. We could talk about Esther. You know the story of Esther. God saw fit to make that little girl an orphan. Can you imagine God would do something like that? He would see a divine path for a child that her parents would die. He saw a divine path that her parents would die, and she would have to go live with her uncle. And her uncle would have to raise her. He saw that divine path that it was the only way that she would become the choice one, the most loved one, even the wife of the king. And you know each and every one of us would say, oh, that's just terrible. Lord, why don't you just let her parents live? That's what man will always do when you try to guide your own steps. When you try to divinely see your own way, you'll take away the blessing that's right there for your life. That's all the enemy wants you to do, is to look at the circumstances as the eyes of the world sees them, as opposed to seeing the divine faithfulness of God, that it was the only way to the path of glorified together with him. The message that you hear today, that you would rule and reign in the midst of the throne together with Jesus Christ. How wonderful. How about old Joseph? Let me ask you this, brothers and sisters. Was it worth it that he was betrayed by his brothers? His whole family. Was it worth it that he was ripped from his godly family and enslaved by the ungodly? Can you believe the word of God that God meant that for his good? Oh, amen. These aren't just stories. This is your life. This isn't just words that we speak of. This is the word that dwells in you. This is how valuable you are to God. This is how he is going to be pleased and he is going to be magnified. It is by faith. It is not by sight. It's not by feeling. It's not by you trying to, again, strewn your path with all the comfort of the lotus land of ease. The hothouse will never grow up. The mature sons of God. Man's goodness misses the mark so far apart from what God divinely wants for your life. You're going to find it's only going to be found in the way of God. Was it worth it for Joseph? Was it worth it? all of that loss, all of that trial, was it worth it that he would ascend and truly, if you will, in type, reign jointly together with the King? Huh? Oh my. And we know, and the Lord gave him all that wisdom to bring all that instruction forth. How could that happen with that, my goodness, that little runt of a Jewish kid? How could he ascend like that? How could he even know those things? Do you ever think of your life and the calling you have to be the bride for Jesus? To rule and to reign jointly together with him? How could you little runts grow like that? How could you have any knowledge at all that he would look to you someday? Oh, honey, this is what we have together. This is what we'll rule and reign over together. These aren't just stories. This is your life. This is who you are. This is how valuable. But just like these ones throughout the scriptures, there wasn't a whole slew of them. Matter of fact, with each and every story, you know what? Pretty much there was just one. It was just that one. And God went after that one. There were millions of people at this time. Tens of millions. But why was it Ruth? Why was it Esther? Why was it Tamar? Why was it Zipporah? Why was it you? Let that get your attention. Let his divine love get your attention. And see what all of these knew is that there was a drawing in their life. Sometimes you're not going to understand things. And you know what? I'm finding out. My understanding is meaningless. The one thing that it means something is to know. See, the mind of Christ knows. The Word of God knows. And he said, let this mind, let the Word of God be in you. This is what thinks for me by the grace of God. This is by the grace of God how we're going to be set to move. That helmet of salvation can be awful mighty. If you'll take it all, it'll even be salvation with eternal glory. He's looking to take some brethren out there. You know this, don't you? And he's going to profess their name in the midst of the church. What are you seeing there? He said, I'm going to take those brethren and I'm going to profess their name. I wonder whose name that is. In the midst of the church. Do you see how he thinks of you? You see what he sees for you? Oh my. Go on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's see here. How does he think of us? Amen. Verse 17. Here's your life. It's a light affliction. A light affliction. A moment. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding. And that's an exceeding. It's going to take all of eternity to show you with a body like unto his own. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, that's all Paul's gospel speaks of is glory. Glory, glory, glory. It's just glory all over the place. From glory to glory. Be in the glory. Share in his glory. Glorified together with him. Oh, but I want to take that palm and I want to wave it. I don't have time for that no more. Now listen to this. For our light affliction, which is but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, thank you, God. That's so marvelous. And then to top that off, we go right over to Romans 8, verse 18. I love that. I reckon. Do you reckon with Paul? For I reckon that the sufferings in the 18th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. And we know that even interprets, it's not even worthy to be said, mentioned, or uttered. So these present sufferings are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Did it say to us? In us. In us. These are the mature sons of God. For the earnest expectation of all creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. I tell you what, it's about time, brothers and sisters. It really is about time. I don't think our rejoicing has even begun. Praise the Lord. This is the life of the full overcomer. And this is the life that you know. These are the vessels of mercy that receive this anointing of the riches of His glory. I thank God for you. Because I'm looking by His grace at a lot of lowly folks. And it's good. It's marvelous, isn't it? He must increase, and I must decrease. It's beautiful. It's marvelous. And He gives us these divine appointments over and over and over and over that bring this precious humility, that bring this, as the Word of God says, the beginning of knowledge. Ty even spoke of that today. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And that fear of the awe of God, the awe of His love, the awe of His plan, the awe of His love to me. That puts me in awe of how divinely and passionately that He has pursued my life and truly in Christ before my life ever even began. And that's the truth. Now, but maybe my favorite of all, I have to go back to it time and time again. Would it have been better if David never saw Bathsheba? Come on, you self-righteous ones. Be honest. Oh, yeah, brother. It has been better. He never saw her. Would it have been better that infidelity never happened? Would it even have been better if Uriah was not murdered? You know what? My mom likes to watch them Hallmark movies. I was thinking, you know, would it have been better? There was old, you know, Uriah and Bathsheba, and they just lived happily ever after. That had to be a better thing than that poor woman to become the wife of the king. To be the mother of the king. And then to be listed with those five, the very lineage of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, in Jesus' name, I pray the Lord work this in your life. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I pray we see this. Without the blessing of unseemly things, without the blessing of dysfunctional things, but God, but God would have ever had action for this in your life. That's the truth. But God, worked all those things together for my good. I was thinking of this. And, you know, there's been ones that have been raised in the truth. And I thank the Lord. I mentioned that earlier. And I thank God how He's kept my life in different ones. But I know I'm a bad guy, so that's okay. God dealt with me about that a long time ago. Continues to all the time. I thank God for the wretched man that I am. But then there's people that the Lord, and I'm so thankful, graciously moved in. You know, a lot of things never really occurred in their lives. Didn't really have a lot of different events, if you would say these failures. Maybe like a David or some of these different ones. Whether murder, fornication, adultery, whatever. But I'll tell you one thing. No matter how you've walked with the Lord, I think that the Lord in His divine goodness, He has a tempter that'll tempt us. And those that have even walked that walk of such thanksgiving to God, one of the greatest battles of their life is self-righteousness. And let me tell you something, self-righteousness is just as dirty for the unbeliever. Now, I know that the believer is clean, don't get me wrong, but the self-righteousness itself is just as dirty. It's just as sinful. And matter of fact, to God, it's even, if you will, it's more repugnant than even the things that David did. Do you see what a treasure that can be to your life as you've walked with the Lord? Oh, wretched man that I am. It's a beautiful thing to see the mercy of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, every one of us, by the grace of God, are vessels of that same mercy. When you come in and you say, oh, I'm thankful I'm not like the other guy, you miss the mercy. Maybe when you come in and you had that thought, you weren't thankful of him. Maybe that's the moment he finally hits you and you break. And you finally say, oh, wretched man that I am. God, what honor you have given to me to worship with such a one. To be amongst them that love you so and embrace your mercy. That love your grace. That are the vessels to the praise and the glory of your grace. Do you know that's what draws hearts? Do you know that's what won the ones that would look to Jesus? They saw his love. He didn't magnify their fault. He didn't magnify anything but their soul. All he wanted was their soul. He just wanted their love. He was just drawn to them because he saw they were the ones that would see that they were blind. That they were wretched. That they were sinful. I pray I never lose that tenderness in my heart that I don't want to drift too much, but we just might. Now, you better understand this. Without many transgressions to forgive, that woman at his feet would have never known the depth of his love. Remember that in Luke, that beautiful encouragement? That Pharisee said, oh, if he knew who she was, he wouldn't let her touch him. He knew everything that dirty rat was thinking. And he said, the one thing I know is from the moment I walked in, she never ceased to anoint my feet with her tears. Oh my. And all he could say was that was the one that loved much. That was the one that knew love. Not knew their own strength. Not knew their goodness. Their self-righteousness. That was the one that knew his love. Now, as we wrap this up, are you counting your blessings? I mean, are you really thanking the Lord for every aspect of your life? I'm talking about where you're from, who your parents are or weren't, how good or bad they were, what you look like, what you even feel like. Specifically, are you thanking him for the trial? Even beyond that, are you thanking him for the infirmities in your life? Have the things that you wanted to discard from your life, have they been, as Paul said, I glory? Because, Lord, if you would remove this from me, I would be magnified and not you. Let me tell you something. You enter in there, you're going to enter in one way, and that's the most holy faith. You're going to have to be just set apart in grace. You want to yield to God finally in your life? You would really want to yield to God? You're going to yield one way, and that's by grace. You begin to thank him for what you see in that mercy seat. It will finally change the things that you want and that you see that would need to be changed. And it will. You'll see him from the perspective of seated together with him as opposed to seeing him as the enemy wants to have you see things that are, oh, it just defeats you. No, this is the infirmity that has caused me to draw nigh to the grace of God. Yes. Brothers and sisters, I tell you what. Even before you ever had a thought for God, God had a path for you. And it was just as divine and just as a miracle as God bringing Abraham right out of that idol shop. I was thinking about my own life and my own sweet dad. Why was it for my dad, out of all his siblings, as a young boy, he was the one that hid up in the rafters of that holy roller church? Why was it him? Why was it him that saw those holy rollers dancing? And he thought he was probably going up there for entertainment to make fun of them. And yet, why was it him that God allowed him to know these were the only people he knew in his life that were happy? Why was it that pastor of that church, Pastor Kuhnkan, came to my dad and was fond of him and made an impact on my father? Do you think all of those events of his life were getting him ready to meet a spirit-filled young girl with an absolute incensed crazy dad that was in love with the Lord? That when he came to date my mom, he said, well, you seem like a fine guy. You can date her when you're saved. He thought about it for a moment, but you know what? I'm sure that he didn't even realize what God had done with seeing those happy people back there when he was 7 years old. But see, God even used it for more than that, because he thought, well, I'm saved now. I can definitely marry her. And he says, oh, John, I'm glad you're saved. He said, you want to marry my daughter? I think you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you knew my dad, you couldn't tell him much what to do. But you could say, well, that was Brother Hill. And I said, oh, no, that wasn't Brother Hill. And I know he loved my mom. But I'm telling you, I know that there was a ministering to him when he was 7 years old. Why was it him that he saw those that spoke in other tongues minister to his heart and say, but those people are happy? Why was it, brothers and sisters, do you think that it was better my biological grandpa left Sister Hill and my mom when my mom was just a baby? Huh? Was it for her good? Was it for my good that my biological grandpa did not want a child and abandon them? Would it have been better for her and better for me if, once again, we got another Hallmark movie going and, you know, they just lived happily ever after? Or do you think God had a plan for that abandoned mom and that little baby? And this little guy right here, that somehow, some way, God's miracle would bring her to a guy named Duluth Hill and Paul's gospel. Now, I could go on and on, just like your mind's going on and on and on. How'd we get here? Divine grace. And let me tell you something. The immense blessings of any life are going to come forth one way. Mercy. Mercy, mercy. Completely opposite of man's divine plan. The beauty as we started here today always comes forth from the ashes. There's no glory like the sun piercing through a raging storm. God moves in unseemly events and unseemly people. And if you don't line up and throw your hand up, I'll tell you what, you've missed it. You missed it. And it's all to show His grace. He loved the ones that were blind. He loved the ones that were dirty. He loved the ones, praise God, that knew they were sinful. He had favor on the Samaritan. He had favor on the widow. Oh yes, and praise God. He'll always have great favor on the one that says, oh wretched man that I am. And all I can tell you, I'm blessed beyond. And I'm seeing it more and more how blessed beyond I am. Because you know what? I have a life. You do too, but you got to recognize it. I got a life that's been nothing but mercy. Yes. Nothing but mercy. I mean, oh, mercy, rivers and mercy, floods and mercy, geysers and mercy, fountains. I know He's carried me all the way. I know every thought I've ever had to go on with God. It's been all Him. And I'll tell you one thing. By the grace of God, I will praise Him. I will praise Him for His grace till I see Him. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Come now, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Where sin abounded, grace more abounded. How I love you. Oh, how I want you to draw near to my heart. Lay your head on my breast. Can't you hear it beating for you? Don't you know this is for you and I am drawing you right now?
Oh, Jesus, Lord. Father, we thank you. We come just in rejoicing and such thanksgiving in the wonderful name of your Son. And Lord, this life of grace upon grace is so mighty. It's becoming more and more of a praise and thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for what you're working in this assembly. Thank you, Lord, that the praise is growing more in truth and love. We thank the Lord, God, that you're the God of that increase. We thank the Lord that it's always been the same. Him. Him. Yesterday, today, and forever. It's always been Him. And Lord, may it only be more of Him. May He be magnified. And Lord, may He be lifted up. Lord, thank you again for the brethren. Lord, thank you again for this fellowship. Lord, thank you for the treasure, Lord God, of assembling with them of like precious faith. Lord, thank you for this divine drawing. Lord, that we do see there's a rib portion coming forth. There's ones, God, that are drawing nigh unto you out from among the camp. And Lord, thank you again for that. We know it's all by you, through you, to you, and do you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.